In turbulent times, perspective matters. The Thoughts on the Market podcast from Morgan Stanley offers concise takes on current events and what they could mean for the markets and the global economy. Get a fresh perspective every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcast platform.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, October 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Millions of Americans unable to pay their rent during the pandemic are protected by state and local eviction moratoriums, but those protections are due to expire in January, or in some cases sooner, and many fear that could trigger the country's next housing crisis.
That is a hit to low-income renters, but it is also a hit to the owners of the properties they live in, who have mortgages and who may be in financial trouble soon as well.
That's Will Parker. He covers the housing market for the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, he'll give us an update on those eviction protections and what their expiration could mean for the rental market. That's after the break.
In turbulent times, perspective matters. The Thoughts on the Market podcast from Morgan Stanley offers concise takes on current events and what they could mean for the markets and the global economy. Get a fresh perspective every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on your favorite podcast platform.
The Federal Reserve says that renters could be on the hook for more than $7 billion in overdue payments by the end of the year. Other estimates put the figure much higher. And when eviction protections expire, that can have a domino effect on the housing market. Our housing reporter, Will Parker, is here to explain. Will, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the eviction protections are one thing, but are they actually making it any easier for renters to make monthly payments?
So you're seeing a large number of renters who are not able to make their payments. And although there is a eviction moratorium, that does nothing to absolve the debt that they are accruing through months of mispayment. And what the concern really is that this debt is growing with every month that passes in the pandemic as unemployment remains high and as certain benefits such as expanded unemployment have expired. So that is a hit to low-income renters, but it is also a hit to the owners of the properties they live in, who have mortgages and who may be in financial trouble soon as well.
But if unemployment remains high, a lot of these people may not be able to resume paying rent once the protections expire.
That's a huge concern because, you know, 7 months into this pandemic, some people may find themselves in a position where they have work again, where they get access to income again, and they're making wages similar to what they were before, but they still might have several months of debt that they still have to pay. And their wages may not be enough to both cover their future rent payments and their expenses, as well as their rent debt from the months in which they were unemployed. So there is a huge concern that some renters just simply will never be able to pay off what they owe.
How's the rental market faring during the pandemic as compared to other areas of the real estate market?
This pandemic is highlighting some of the key differences and advantages and setbacks between being a renter and being a homeowner. So, you know, homeowners who are in trouble, they have certain financial options, right? They can take out an extra mortgage if they have to. Perhaps they can modify their current mortgage. There are forbearance programs for homeowners. But most renters do not have this ability to simply refinance what they are behind on. So the situation for renters right now, I think, it is a much more difficult one.
Now, among renters, who's being hit the hardest by this problem?
So unemployment in this pandemic has affected lower income wage, hourly wage workers and service industry workers the most. And those are the same people who researchers believe account for the lion's share of the unpaid rent in the housing market right now. Also, census survey data indicates that non-white renters tend to be more likely to be behind on their rent payments right now.
Have higher income renters been insulated in any way from the economic hardship?
So some of the best data that we have on rent and rent payments come from about 11 million apartments that are so-called professionally managed apartment buildings. And these renters tend to be higher income and pay rents that are higher than the median. And even in those buildings, a recent analysis showed that missed rent payments are up 7% over last year. So that strain is even being felt, you know, up the income ladder from the lowest income individuals.
And how about the landlords? How are they faring during this?
It's different for different types of landlords. You know, some who are, you know, very flush with cash right now or have large reserves, have large investors, they've been among the most willing to kind of ride this out to, you know, let tenants continue to stay without paying rent or putting them on some sort of payment plan so that something comes in every month, even if it's not everything. And that's definitely a part of the housing market. There are other landlords who have been less tolerant, who are filing evictions where local laws allow them to, and who have loaded up tenants with late fees on top of the rent that they already owe. So there's a whole range of responses from landlords on this, and certainly the ones who feel the most at risk to losing their properties through foreclosure, for example, for not being able to make their mortgage payments are the ones who are, you know, likely to react the hardest to tenants not being able to pay.
Now, as this rent debt continues to rise and people's economic situations, you know, don't get any better, what's the worst case scenario economists fear?
The worst case scenario that I think most people looking at this fear is a large wave of evictions. And a lot of advocates have been talking about this for several months. It hasn't happened in large part because of the various protections that do exist, perhaps also because many landlords sort of look at the economy right now and look at the housing market and think, if I start evicting lots of my tenants, who am I going to replace them with? But again, as these protections expire, if they do indeed expire, and without significant changes in the economy or some sort of stimulus, some people argue that these evictions seem inevitable to many people.
And most of these protections that cover renters expire in January. Any talk of these protections being extended?
There has been talk of extending the moratorium. A House of Representatives bill that passed early this month, coronavirus relief package, included a lot of renter relief and also included an extension of the moratorium. But there is not a Senate bill equivalent at the current time that would do that same thing.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal housing reporter Will Parker. Will, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.